Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, hour number three on a Friday. That's where we are. Get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. But before we get there, we got to step aside from doing the usual discussion about politics and all the usual stuff that we do on the show, and we got to jump on into some JP on sports. So JP, you may recall, is a guru of all things sports. We do this in two rounds. First one's called the three and out. He's got the top three stories in sports as he sees it. And then we jump into the second round, and it's called the two-minute warning, and I've got a timer and a buzzer. So he also, by the way, has the best sound effect of all the sound effects, courtesy of sorority girls at Auburn. Hit it, bro. Nice. He smiles every time he plays it, too.
What can I say?
All right, three and out, dude. Take it away. What's your top three?
All right, so the NFL season kicked off last night where the Dallas Cowboys went up and played at the Eagles, and the Eagles ended up getting the win. The big, a major story in the sports world was the fact that Jalen Carter, the best defender on the Eagles team, was ejected after the first play, or before the first play, for spitting on Dak Prescott on the field before they even broke the huddle. I don't know much of the story there other than they just started talking back and forth, and apparently Jalen didn't like what he said and spat on him, and then he got ejected first play of the game. So that has been the main storyline in the sports world. However, in the culture world, the main story has been apparently the NFL is still doing the Black National Anthem before the games.
That's right.
And actually, I didn't know they were still doing that. I remember they started that during like the Colin Kaepernick era. And I was home, and I was about to turn on the game, and I'm listening in the background, and I hear that they're singing the national anthem, and I was like, that doesn't sound like the national anthem. And I realized what it was, and I turned the game off. I didn't watch the rest of the game after that. I was so annoyed. And actually, I've seen today the biggest like backlash for it in terms of, you know, everybody was kind of walking on eggshells, afraid to call that stuff out because we saw the Colin Kaepernick thing, you know.
The BLM riots.
Take, you know, hold of it. But now I feel like we're in a different era where people are calling it out. It's like everybody thought we were done with that crap. Like, why are we still promoting? We still got the Choose Love. What's funny is they're actually zooming in on the Choose Love behind the Eagles end zone while they were singing it. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, the NFL is so scared to stop doing that stuff because they think they're going to get swarmed with cancel culture or whatever. But I don't think they realize it's a much different time now than 2020. I mean, we just saw Trump win the popular vote by a good bit. I think they'd be just fine if they stopped doing that. But obviously, they don't think so. So they're going to keep doing it, I guess.
I mean, gone are the days of, like, you know, Larry Zonka and, you know, Mean Joe Green and all of it. And, like now we're like, oh, what can we virtue signal?
Choose love. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
It's football.
Yeah. Okay. So that has been the main story in the culture world after last night's game. But like I said, I think that's a positive sign. And hopefully we can bully the NFL enough to stop doing it. Because I've seen bullying works with stuff like that. So maybe we just need to bully Roger Goodell and the NFL and maybe they'll stop.
Is he subject to bullying? Can he be bullied?
He actually banned Dave Portnoy from every game because Dave Portnoy was bullying him. So, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get banned from every NFL game after, I don't know, hopefully Roger Goodell hears this and stops. But I don't know. We'll see. From here on out, though, I guess the rest of the season we'll have to hear the Black National Anthem before the real National Anthem.
All right, three and out. That's one. What's two?
College football. We are going into week two. The main storylines from week one. Obviously, you know, we'll get to Alabama in a second. But first, you know, we have to talk about Auburn did have a great game. They won a very good game against Baylor. Jackson Arnold played very well, showed he can use his legs very well. They answered a lot of questions that people had about this Auburn team. LSU, people are saying they may be the national champion favorite now after what they did in Death Valley. Overcame adversity with some bad calls and were still able to come out with a win after that game. Tennessee looked good against Syracuse, but Florida and Georgia, they played cupcake games. So the main story, though, after week one was Alabama. And people were saying that Alabama is done and the post-Saban era is now upon us where Alabama will be a mediocre team. You know, first, I will say some of the things I agree it is fair to be worried about some of this stuff. About, you know, Alabama got dominated physically in that game. We didn't see Alabama at all get physically dominated in a Saban coach team. I mean, you may have seen it a little bit towards the end of Saban's career, but nothing like what we saw in the Florida State game. They couldn't handle the Florida State home field advantage for some reason, and it just did not look like a normal Alabama coach team. So I think that's fair for Alabama fans to start to get worried about. However, I don't think it's quite time yet to you know, grab your pitchforks and call for Kalen DeBoer to be fired. I will say the red flags are starting to pop up a little bit, but I will say it was week one. There's a lot of season ahead of us, and you know, this is still a very, very talented team. Some people said it was top two or three most talented rosters in the nation. So I think there's some time to turn the ship around. However, I do think it starts to, you know, get a little worried. Maybe I think that's fair. But
see, the funny thing is, Auburn fans win a game, we're like, all right, don't get excited, man. It's one game. Bama fans lose a game, it's like the season is over.
Hey, what can you say? I mean, when you're a powerhouse like Alabama, we're not used to losing.
Oh,
so it's
all
like,
right, that's two. What's three?
Well, we're going to get a little local here, some local sports drama, because apparently the HSAA, the High School Sports Mafia, I think you call them, is at it again. When are they not at it, though? I feel like they're always up to something. But anyways, the Choose Act, which has been a thing that Alabama has been fighting for how long? Forever. And they finally get this, you know, massive
school
legislation.
Choice.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And, of course, the HSA has to find a way to ruin it somehow. And now they are banning athletes who use the Choose Act to transfer from playing in your first year. Now, I'm somebody who had to sit out a year after I transferred schools in high school. Like, that's just kind of always been the thing. But now that the legislature has worked so hard to get the Choose Act, and now it's backfiring on them because the HSA is so narcissistic. They got to put themselves in every situation. However, though, this is a win that literally just happened about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
So apparently, KIV and Ledbetter, they're suing the HSAA, but also they have filed a motion for a temporary restraining order against the HSAA over this Choose Act, and it was granted. So now,
it was granted.
Starting tonight, the Choose Act students can play and won't have to sit out. Now, will this stand? I hope that eventually the HSAA gets some sense knocked into them by the legislature. But yeah, that is a big one. Literally about 20 minutes ago, that motion was granted. And so now students, starting tonight, Friday Night Lights, will be able to play if they use the Choose Act.
I got to add one thing to that, too. You know, the Choose Act, when it was passed, they actually named the Alabama High School Athletic Association in the bill.
Specifically.
They said AHSAA cannot stop people from using school choice money and then be blocked from playing.
And so my mom is a coach in high school, Alabama High School, and she actually sent me a screenshot. They sent out a memo yesterday.
HSAA did?
The HSAA sent out a memo to all of their athletic departments, doubling down, saying how they're not backing down. And actually, I think a direct quote in the memo said something about what you were just referencing, where they specifically mentioned the HSAA. They said that it didn't say the word rules in that memo.
What?
And so that their interpretation is a bit different than the legislature's. So they're just going to do what they want anyways.
It said they can't do something, but it didn't say they couldn't make a rule about not doing something. So that's okay.
It didn't say the word rules in the memo. So it's open for interpretation, obviously. And the HSAA can do whatever they want. So I think they're going to get embarrassed. And I think them being granted the motion to let these players play tonight is a great first step. But I've seen the HSAA mess with so many of my friends', you know, high school careers too, and it's just I hope they get embarrassed and they don't do stuff like this.
Well, they're already getting embarrassed. So you said Speaker Ledbetter and Governor Ivey actually filed suit, and the injunction was granted today.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That is.
That's
a big one.
That's also fast.
Yes,
it is. Really fast. I mean, as an attorney, I can tell you that's fast.
Just in time. You know, like I said, Friday Night Lights. So hopefully those kids get to play tonight.
I wonder how many kids are going to dress out tonight that didn't think they would.
Probably a good bit. I think a good bit of kids.
I don't know how many of them are going to wind up being athletes, but we know that like within the first week of the Choose Act opening up for enrollments, they had like over 2,500 or people signing up for it within the first week. They just like flooded the system. Couldn't hardly keep up.
And the HSAA said, we can't have it. We can't have it. We got to stop it.
All right, we're taking a break right now. That's round one. That was three, wasn't it? Yeah, that was three. That's three. That's the three and out right there on JP on Sports. Brought to you, by the way, by Inspire Advisors. I'll tell you more about Inspire Advisors here in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, we're back for round two of JP on Sports. This one's called the 2-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. He's got 2 minutes on any story and every story he can think of in sports. JP, my stopwatch is there. We go. Go.
So I talked about it last week. I talked about it once before. But now, as of today, the Wall Street Journal published a lot more details that we now know about this UFC White House card coming up next year. Well, first, they were wanting to do it on July 4th, but apparently for some logistical reasons, they're not able to do it on July 4th. So it will be June 2026 will be this White House card. But here's some very interesting details, okay? So first, they've confirmed the Octagon will be on the White House South Lawn. Okay, we figured that. Also, they said that the fighters, before their fights, will be warming up in the White House.
In the White House?
In the White House. And, you know, so like the cards will be on Saturday, and then Friday nights, they'll do the ceremonial weigh-ins in front of a crowd where the fighters will go up on the scale, you know, flex whatever. This fighter is 155, yeah. And then this opponent comes up, they do the same thing, and then they face off in front of Dana, and they, it's a ceremonial thing.
Sure.
So now they said that they're going to be doing the pre-card ceremonial weigh-ins in front of the Lincoln Memorial, or on the Lincoln Memorial, I should say.
What?
Like on the top of the steps of the Lincoln Memorial is where they'll be doing their their face-offs and their ceremonial weigh-ins in front of a crowd, I assume. So that makes this even more interesting. So Dana had his meeting with Trump and Ivanka last week, so I guess this is what's come of the meeting, all of these details. So Trump has, I'm sure, approved all of this. What are your first thoughts on all that?
I mean, I look at it and go, okay, wow. You know, first of all, those parks, those places, those are the people's houses. Those are the people's monuments. It does feel a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, at the same time, what a cool backdrop.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And as long as they're not doing anything to, like, what I say, harm the monuments, that kind of, like, do anything that would, like, you know, jeopardize the quality or the sanctity of the monument, then I think it could be actually pretty cool.
I think it's going to be cool regardless. I mean, even the fight itself, you got the Washington Monument on one side, the White House on the other. It's going to be the best backdrop.
And that's the buzzer. There it is. All right, reset the clock. That's one. Go.
So staying in the sport of combat sports, this is boxing, actually. And this is just awful, in my opinion. So apparently it was announced yesterday Mike Tyson will be boxing again.
What?
Against Floyd Mayweather.
No.
Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson will be having a exhibition boxing match.
Are they on walkers, both of them?
Yeah, right. And you know, people, they see that, and the first thing they think about is age, obviously. They're both old and completely different generations of boxing to begin with. But also, Floyd Mayweather, he fought, the highest weight that he boxed at in boxing was 148. He's like 5'8". And boxed at 148, and Mike Tyson was a heavyweight.
Yeah.
So the weight,
it still is.
Yeah. The weight discrepancy is massive, which I think points to it's not going to be an actual fight by any means. It's going to be a glorified sparring match, and it's a money grab. But my thing is, shame on Floyd Mayweather for this, because this is absolutely a Floyd Mayweather decision. I mean, they call him Floyd Money Mayweather for that reason, because he will do anything for money. And he's been having these tacky exhibition matches with random boxers after his professional career has been over. They've all been like glorified sparring matches. But now he's doing it with Mike Tyson. I think this taints both of their legacies, not because of, you know, whatever the result of the match will be, but the fact that they're both out of their careers and they're in such desperate positions, obviously, that they have to box each other for money. Like, it's an awful look, in my opinion. It's not going to be a real boxing match at all. But yeah, it looks like Mike Tyson
don't have to worry about knocking a tooth out because they don't have any teeth left.
Exactly right, yeah. So I think this is a bad look. It's tacky. I think a lot of people, after seeing Mike Tyson and Jake Paul's thing, are just kind of we're over it. I think, like I said, I think this is 100% a Floyd Mayweather decision.
And there you go. Oh, wow, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, okay, no, 2 minutes, starts, go.
All right, so I'm going to keep talking about this story. Anytime something comes up that's interesting about it, but Bruce Pearl saying interesting comments again. Apparently he went on I believe it was Andy Katz's show. I could be wrong. Went on a sports podcast and was talking about, apparently he's got a 5-year contract that he just signed recently with Auburn. He's got 5 more years on it. And he said he does not think he's going to last the rest all of those 5 years. He goes, I will not be coaching for much longer. And he talked like that's pretty much a decision he's already made, that he will not be on the planes for much longer. At the very least, he won't be there for 5 years. But that sounds like something that somebody about to go into their last year says, honestly. Yeah. And there was a lot of talk about Bruce Pearl running for Tuberville's Senate seat. But there's a lot of issues with him giving money to Democrats pretty recently. So I think Well, my personal opinion, I think Bruce Pearl wanted to run this past time, found out he couldn't run as a Republican, so now he'll be waiting until the next midterm and will be running as a Republican then, and that'll give enough time that between him giving money to Democrats and then he'll be all good to go rules-wise.
Well, here's something for you. There are strong indications, strong rumors that Congressman Mike Rogers, who has the 3rd congressional district, I believe, which includes Auburn, is not going to run again.
Ah.
So that would be interesting, and that's coming up. You know, it's not been announced, but there's like the rumors.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I could see him being the ambassador to Israel.
That is something, too. Yeah. I mean, it's just funny to me because somebody who just went to a Final Four is one of the top coaches in college basketball, is getting a lot of money from Auburn, way more money than he would make as a politician, is openly saying as a for sure thing, like, yeah, I really just don't think I'm going to last these 5 years. Like, that's not something coaches like that say. So it's interesting. The story is getting more interesting. But like I said, I think that is what it is. I think he wanted to run this time, couldn't, so he'll run again in the future.
All right. Well, reset the clock. You got time for one more?
I think about one minute.
Go for it.
All right, so Ryan Clark, this commentator who is back in the news again. He's an ESPN commentator. This is the guy that said that Shedeur Sanders fell as far as he did because NFL owners are intimidated by a confident young black man. He's also said a lot of other crazy things like that. Too long for me to, you know, have a list to talk about here, but just look it up. But he went on ESPN Get Up and said that he doesn't think that Peyton Manning or Tom Brady were generational talents at quarterback. And you look at that and you're like,
didn't think they were generational talents?
If they're not generational talents, then who is?
Who is?
Who is, right? He actually said that, I think Andrew Luck, he said, is one he considers a generational talent. There was another quarterback that was like good, but not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning good. But this is just the I think this shows the ESPN product is getting worse and worse by the day. I don't even watch ESPN anymore. This is somebody who grew up, and every morning before school, I was eating cereal, watching SportsCenter back in the day when like there were guys who were actually like knew the sports and loved the sports. Now these people are chasing headlines. They're talking about if Arch Manning is a generational quarterback when he's a sophomore who just had his first start. Like this, they're chasing headlines. They're trying to get clout with what they say. And Ryan Clark is clearly an idiot, and he just proved it again.
I think you got everything you needed out of that one.
So there you go.
You squeezed 2 minutes into 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. JP on Sports, brought to you by Inspire Advisors. I'll tell you more about them in just a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.